Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
You think that your pants are big enough to do callbacks, and my pants are big enough to direct.
Yeah, you're going to come in here and tell me, you're going to tell me when the episode's over.
Big enough to hold this hog.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
That, is it this hog or that hog?
Has to be your bowl.
Shoot.
No, the thing's so big,
it's got two different versions. Depends on what you're talking to. If you're talking to the base, it's this hog. If you're talking to the head, it's that hog. Because it's so far away.
Yeah, different zip codes on
you
this hog.
Point at it.
Yeah. It's a blue ribbon hog. I sometimes worry about how crass we are, but then I don't care.
Why do you worry?
No, I said, but then I said, I don't care.
You don't plan on being employed anymore, do you?
No. Fuck that. I'm done.
Fuck employers.
Yeah.
And their demands.
Blech. You need to be here when I tell you. Yeah, the worst.
Stupid.
Yeah. Why would anybody put themselves up through that?
I don't know. Why would anybody want to be an employer?
I don't know. It seems like a big hassle. Why would
everybody hates you?
Why would you care about somebody else? Well, like, I don't care. Like, anything you can do, I can literally do for free. So,
right. So here's the deal. I don't know if people think about this or not, especially those business owners,
entrepreneurs.
But if you're going to cut all these government programs for working people, the employer is either going to have to deal with the consequence of having to pay to provide those things,
mm-hmm.
or pay the consequence of their employees having problems that those programs resolved.
Right.
Like, the consequence to that is something you never hear about. You see one domino. You don't see all of them and how they're lined up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you don't see
there may be eight of them in a row and you can see eight of them, but we're only going to talk about one of them.
Right. Right. We're not going to, this is, you know, the economic principle is, externality, right? Like, oh, we're going to be so focused on, you know, these two variables, right? When this one goes up, this one goes down, but we're not going to acknowledge, you know, the stuff that is outside of that particular instance, because there's no such thing as a closed system, you know, where those costs are going to be, are going to show up elsewhere, right? Like, a classic one is something like related to, like, you know, carbon is never free, right? Not to go to the most controversial example, but like, oh, we're going to get rid of these regulations so we don't have to pay. So the companies don't have to pay to, like, get up to code or whatever, but then somebody else ends up paying for the sea line rising or whatever. It's just, you know, somebody always pays for it. They're just trying to manage who pays for what part of it. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Same thing with like the argument against Walmart is, well, they pay so poorly and their benefits are so bad, and they game the system so much to make sure nobody actually works full time. And so pretty much Walmart is, you know, like, Walmart employees are a substantial drain on, like, social services, right? Because they don't make enough working a full-time job to actually support their family or whatever, right? So then they become drains on the government, and therefore the government is effectively subsidizing Walmart's corporate practices.
Right. You get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just demonstrating how much I get it, okay?
You definitely got it.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
Yeah. What made you bring that up?
I have a story about a domino.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, Chris, what episode is this?
It's episode number 222 of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
Yeah, your name is?
Chris.
My name is Cole, and we're here to entertain your ass with this discussion of the nuances of cause and effect vis-a-vis policy.
Right. Spell that.
VIS-A-VIS.
Really?
Yeah, vis-a-vis.
I've never written that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the story is in a data analysis that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And it found that between 2007 and 2015, nationwide, there was a 20% drop in gun-related injuries during annual NRA conventions.
I saw that, yeah.
And there was a 63% drop in the states hosting the conventions.
Okay, so all of the people who are very enthusiastic about their guns go to one place and talk right. about their guns instead of using them, and then there's a massive dip.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest drop in gun injuries was for men living in states with high levels of gun ownership in the South and the West.
Okay.
The drop in gun injuries during these large meetings attended by thousands of well-trained gun owners seems to refute the idea that gun injuries stem solely from lack of experience in training using in gun use.
And this is gun injuries, not gun crime, not gun homicide, not gun assault. Injuries. Yeah, like just like this would account for somebody Barney Fifing their foot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like
I'm trying to catch up here. So the article ends by saying, so it's good news for the safety of Americans then, at least for the few days of the year when there's an NRA convention.
It's like a reverse purge.
Right.
We can finally go outside.
Find out when that is.
Yeah. When the next purge is. I think it's like,
can you give me a heads up on the next purge?
Yeah, I got it.
Where it's gonna be time.
I gotta stock up. Yeah, no, so by that logic, it would be in everybody's best interest if there was pretty much always an NRA convention at any given time.
yeah
no, that reminds me, I've got a, it's like a coffee table book or whatever, called Spurious Correlations.
Okay
the tagline is correlation does not equal causation. It's a book version of a blog that basically each page is something like, oh, money spent on pets versus alcohol sold in liquor stores. Like as money spent on pets goes up over time, so does alcohol purchased on liquor stores, with a correlation of 99.4%. That's a bunch of stuff like that. So like points Harvard's football team scored against Yale versus Valentine's Day spending on pet gifts, like the images online. But it's like a whole book full of just these charts that demonstrate that just because a chart matches up doesn't mean it says anything meaningful. It's not like the marriage rate in Kentucky has anything to do with people who drowned after falling out of a fishing boat.
Mm.
I mean, that one might be true.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. It's an interesting book. I don't know if it applies to the NRA thing, but like, I remember seeing that story, and whenever I see a story that seems to confirm my biases like that, I laugh for a minute, and then I'm like, that's probably worth a second thought, because that's a little bit too confirmation biasy for me.
I'm sorry to hear that, Cole.
Yeah. But you said that was a domino. Like, did you have something to say about how that correlation might not be the entire story, or were you just, was that just a segue?
No, you just pick random things and try to put them together. And
right.
Evidently someone's made a coffee table book about it, and I'm old news. So it's all shut the fuck up about dominoes.
I didn't mean to make you feel bad. Did my enthusiasm, Chris, did I crush the bunny with my enthusiasm? Was I like, hey, let's talk about this. And then I ran you out of stuff to say.
So many words. So many words, Cole.
I can't help it.
What else do you have an article about? Can you give me some subjects? Let me pick.
Some subjects. Okay. Why? Okay, let's see. We've got something about drinking and driving, but not the way you expect. something about targeted advertising, and something about mass poisoning.
I want to go with mass poisoning for 500.
Mass poisoning for 500. Did you hear about the Japanese crisis with fugu fish?
No.
Okay. Do you remember that episode of The Simpsons where Homer and the family go to the Japanese restaurant and he gets the blowfish, but the main chef was too busy, so the apprentice chef cut it up, and it turns out that Homer potentially ate the poisonous part of the blowfish, the fugu fish, and they thought he was going to die, but then it turned out he was fine. That's fugu, right? Just the idea that, hey, there's this delicacy, you know, the fugu fish, deadly blowfish that is incredibly delicious. And also parts of it, like the liver, mostly the liver, you know, it has to be prepared, you know, in a very specific way in order to be safe. Right. But people eat it all the time. It's not instantly deadly. It just, you know, it's expensive. It's a, you know, it's a risky thing. Right.
Right. Right.
Well, this fish that, you know, sometimes costs as much as, $200 US or, you know, 22,000 yen per serving. A whole bunch of bad fugu got out there. Okay. Yeah, just a whole bunch. There was a bit of a preparation leak, especially in, in places that would put out a bunch of this stuff. And, you know, there was a huge recall of these particular things. Three packs of fugu were returned. And I think that there were five tainted packs that were out there. So, right. It's a real popular kind of thing. One of the ways that they tried to get people, you know, hip to this, aware of the problem of the crisis, was to basically just blast over loudspeakers through the entire city that, hey, maybe don't get the fugu right now. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So regional health officials said on Tuesday that a supermarket in the central city of Gamagori sold five packages of assorted blowfish meat. The inclusion of the liver in the package could have contaminated the other meat. So they raised an alarm and just blasted it, saying, hey, maybe explore some other options. Look for some sensible substitutions. Okay.
That's like reading an article about your dentist getting busted for not sterilizing equipment.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do I do? Just like a cigarette at him and say, better get tested.
Well, welcome to the world of whatever's on that hook.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story about dead people?
Yes, you can.
All right. So the story is actually about why cremation is becoming so popular.
Okay. Is it for like ecological purposes or what?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. So basically in 1980, 5% of Americans were cremated. As of right now, it's 50%. And they're saying that the shift is partly because of the Great Recession, which drove people away from expensive burials.
Okay.
But the demand is so high and there's not enough of them. So they're burning like a little bit more than one an hour in most crematoriums.
Okay.
They said that in this crematorium that they're following from New Jersey, said each body is burned in a brick-lined chamber that's heated to 1,200 degrees. A second chamber then burns off the gas and particles before it all goes into the atmosphere. Problems do arise in the cremation business, Cole.
I know a couple of these, but let's talk.
Well, it's kind of like when loved ones slip in personal items that explode, like a cell phone or a coconut.
Wait, somebody tried to cremate a coconut?
Well, I guess maybe. Or maybe they just know that if you put one in, it'll explode.
Okay, so it's a little bit like throwing throwing dry ice in a lake. Like you do it just to see.
Right. So there's another aspect to this. It says mourners are encountering new emotions, from relief at avoiding a funeral to pain or comfort in taking the ashes home. Many leave the urns on cemetery grounds, but others love having them. There's right. no pressure or guilt of having to visit them in the cemetery.
Yeah, like that right there, that's grandma's bones.
They will stay with me until the end of my life.
At when which asked point
where
they were,
when asked where they were, they said in my bedroom under a bunch of other shit.
Yeah. No, like they will stay with me until the end of my life. Yeah, at which point this container will go to a Goodwill and somebody will have a story for the rest of their life.
Right.
Hasabanya.
No.
Namanisanana. It's a circle of life.
I got it.
Yeah. Huh. Any other mishaps?
No, that's all I know. What do you know?
So
what do you know? What aren't you telling me?
Well, just other complications.
Who told you?
another problem with cremation specifically in America, and I guess since the rest of the world's all becoming fat asses, if you try and cremate an obese person, the fat won't burn off. It'll just kind of render and, you know, just kind of stick around for a while, causing like huge grease fires, essentially, of these humans as it kind of sticks around and burns all heavy and black smoky, right? Yeah. And the other thing, I had a friend in high school whose dad was from Sweden, right? So first generation just came over from Sweden to America, work in chemicals and stuff like that. But he had history and experience with the funeral business or crematorium business over in Sweden. And for a long time, they ran into a problem, you know, because the procedure was so common over there, of women with breast augmentation being cremated without the implants being taken out. Similar to the coconut, that happens. Guess what you got? You got yourself a titty explosion.
Titty explosion. Band name called it.
So yeah, that's the other thing. You know, like fat people, very difficult to cremate. And also, you know, people with breast enhancements, yeah, you get yourself some explosions. So you got to make sure you keep that in check, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's essential.
Essential.
As your attorney, I advise you to get a fast car with no top.
I was just checking the rear suspension. Is that what it is, or the axle integrity? I forget when he backed over the embankment.
He drove off a 3-foot embankment. Didn't even slow down.
Yeah. I'm positive that we've talked about cremation and body disposal. That seems like a mainstay.
Yeah, class, we've right? liquefied it, and
we've talked about liquidation.
Many articles or subjects about people dumping them in weird places.
Yeah, yeah.
Eating them and snorting them.
Yeah,
injecting them.
Sky burial is becoming more problematic because of climate change. Like the birds are moving, so you just have a bunch of dead bodies rotting on mountains and stuff. At one point, I said, fuck it, just throw my body in a creek or something. But then somebody wrote in saying, like, hey, that's actually a huge problem. Like, if there's a body in a creek, it messes up a bunch of stuff, and I have to clean it up. I'm like, okay, well, I no longer want to be thrown into a creek. What's going
to
happen
to you?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I was talking on a show. I forget if it was this one or another one. I was like, yeah, screw it. I just wanted, like, just if I'm gonna die, I'm gonna disappear like a cat, walk into a creek, and then just fall over and die. And so it seems like the best way to get me, because the idea being you don't want to be a hassle to anybody, right? Like nobody.
Yeah, except for that guy who's got to ladle your ass out of the river.
Right, right. He's got to go out there and fish my bones out. I didn't think that there. I thought that it would be a full reclamation into nature. Not realizing that, like, oh, there's like, that's part of the reason why the Ganges is so bad. A, because of, you know, industrial and residential pollution, but also, you know, people for a long time would throw dead bodies in there and they wouldn't just go away. I pictured like creeks as body erasers. I just thought, you know, ashes to ashes, mud to mud, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got it, Cole.
You do?
No, I get you. Okay. I know.
It's fine.
But that's crazy that you came face to face with your mortality.
that my best laid plans have been undone.
Yeah, but did they send you an email?
Yeah,
you got it. So you got an email from the future, Cole.
No, I think it was somebody who was responsible for an area's water table or something like that. I don't know that it was from the future. I think it was just I just outright stated this would be the best way for me to have the least impact on other people. And then they said, no, actually, it's not as conscientious as you think.
Yeah, I guess I just I think the most conscientious thing you could do would be to go out in the woods and dig a hole.
Yeah.
Lay down in it.
No, but then deer will come up and eat you. Like I don't think deer eat people. Yes, they do.
Cole,
I had an article a few episodes ago about.
Adorable.
I know they're just yeah. I mean, their semen's just worth more than its weight in gold. Yeah,
semen straw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Chris, I want to hear about the canoe battle.
Oh God. So I'm in the barracks and the military and there's a kid and there's always a kid.
Mm-hmm.
His name is being withheld.
Yes, that's why.
Did you think I was gonna do it?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so he and another kid who I was pretty good friends with, they got into it, and they tried to one up each other all the time. With pranks and such. And so there was a shaving cream fight and there was, stuff shot through an eye, like a looking hole and through the door. And I don't know, it was just a real mess. So not to be outdone, the guy that I was pretty good friends with, he decided that he was going to go into someone's footlocker and douse all of their uniforms with this cologne called Canoe.
Yeah. It's like old man stink.
It's offensive,
yeah.
In a lot of ways. But the even funnier story about that particular person, the guy who had the uniform issue, he and this is not. I don't think this is going to triangulate. But I think he found his dad had committed suicide, so he was a little emotionally on edge.
Right. Right.
And this happened in his childhood. Anyway, so you'd have these inspections,
right?
And you knew what day they were, and because we were all on different shifts, this kid was my roommate. He was on third shift. So when he would come in after third shift, I was getting ready to get up and go, but he'd lay down and go to sleep. So we had the room all cleaned up and everything, and ready for inspection, and then we took the grate from the ceiling that had dust on it, and we just kind of shook it all over this guy as he slept. So the inspection comes in, and the note that was left was, everything looks great except for dust on this guy's name. So when you got hit, they called it hit, when they found something bad.
You got popped for not having hospital corpses.
We got hit for dust on Bill.
Yeah. So
that was said to him repeatedly until he almost emotionally broke down.
Because he became dust on Bill guy.
Right.
Yeah. Huh.
Dust on Bill.
So in the telling of the story that I know, the canoe became a problem at the inspection because it just made the room uninhabitable, right?
Yeah, that happened too.
Yeah.
On that occasion, but I didn't think that was really that funny.
Oh yeah.
I like the
I like the
dust on Bill.
I like the man being destroyed.
Yeah. I liked it when his lip shook a little.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that. It's a funny story. I saw canoe at a, you told me that like when I was in college or whatever, and I saw canoe at a department store and I smelled it. It really is heinous.
Did you see it at Meijer?
Maybe. I forget where.
That's where I saw it.
Yeah.
Recently.
Oh, fun. I've got a story for you here. This one comes from down New Mexico way. It comes from San Juan County, where a teen had some problems with the law, had some problems with drinking. Her mom was really, worried about her. And this girl, she was really distraught, right? Because mm-hmm. her boyfriend wasn't with her. She wanted to be with her boyfriend, wanted to be drinking with her boyfriend. She was drinking alone. She was driving and her boyfriend was in jail. Okay.
Okay.
So, you know, the cop, you know, pulls up and, you know, they have the altercation, not the altercation, but it's like, hey, you know, like it's going about as well as you can expect, like a DWI. Like this is, you know, like it's a white girl. So obviously the guns aren't out yet. So, you know, the cop says like, hey, can I help you set up? And the girl crying, I miss my boyfriend. Oh, you miss your boyfriend. I'm sorry about that. You know, and they, in the footage, you see him helping her, you know, stagger down to the, you know, back to the cruiser, you know, so they can get her to the station and get her sobered up, get her processed, charge her, et cetera. You know, most importantly, nobody's hurt. Everything's fine. Okay. The corporal says, yeah, I'm just here to help you. You know, and the girl says, take me to jail if you want to help me. And he's like, okay, well, why do you want to go to jail? Oh, well, my boyfriend's there.
Huh.
Okay. So.
Okay.
He figures, hey, this is probably a big family problem. Like we need to get a hold of this person's parents. You know, he's out radioing or whatever. She's in the back of the car. She's kicking at the cage. She's kicking at the glass or whatever. The door's unlocked. Okay, so she gets out. She gets out of the cage, gets into the front, and speeds off. Getting into the car, speeding down the highway at speeds of 99 miles per hour, drunk as a skunk, narrowly missing a van. Didn't last for long, though. She crashed into two cars, then landed in a ditch off the side of the road. Was taken to the hospital for serious spinal injuries. Not to the jail like she wanted to. She was just drawing a straight line. My boyfriend's in jail. I want to be in jail, too. Let's make this happen.
Meet me. Pew!
So, no. Nobody died. Nobody else got hurt. She got fucked up. The corporal, you know, explaining himself, saying like, oh, he didn't handcuff her because she hadn't done anything violent. And she, you know, she just wanted to go home. Like he was giving her every single benefit of the doubt. Like, just like, we don't need to make this a big deal. But then no, she decides to go and fuck up.
You done broke it.
Yeah.
You done it.
Yeah. She got hit. So I mean, first off, flawless plan, no seams in that, good job. I wonder if she knows that they go to separate jails. Like I don't know
information that would have been nice to know yesterday.
I'm sorry, I think you pronounced that incorrectly.
How did I, what?
No, I wanted you to scream it.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah,
sorry. What is that from?
That is from The Wedding Singer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the 1997 Adam Sandler movie.
Really? It's been that long?
Oh, yeah. Sandler's been kicking around for a good time. 1998, I'm sorry. 1998. Still 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think The Wedding Singer is a good movie. I think that's fun. It's not a good film. It's not going to win any awards. I think it's a fun movie.
All I know is that to me, it was a lot of fun.
You look like you're a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Spinning right around like a record. I'm on my knees. Pretty, pretty please. Kill me.
Kill me. I want to die.
Yep. I was going through a bit of a cure phase.
Put a bullet in my head.
See? It's a good movie. I like The Wedding Singer.
Maybe I'll watch that tonight. Is that on any streaming service?
I've got no fucking idea. I don't know.
Where can I watch The Wedding Singer?
You know what? I think that The Wedding Singer would be a perfectly fine.
An hour.
It would be a perfectly fine. What?
I said, where can I watch The Wedding Singer in about an hour?
Let's see. Netflix has The Water Boy. Huh.
Look at you. You logged in already, huh?
I'm logged in on my computer all the time.
God damn you.
What?
It's not on the, it's not on Amazon.
Not on Netflix. No, well.
Is it on Hulu?
If it's not on either of those, I really doubt that it's going to be on Hulu. Watch, I'll be wrong. You there? You okay?
I am. Oh man. All right. Nope. You can't get there from here. Sorry.
Oh well.
Road no longer exists.
Drew Barrymore.
Oh, did you want to talk about our trip when you were here?
Oh yeah, we ought to. We should do that.
Okay. Yeah.
So as of the time people are listening to this, this was probably about like a month and about a week ago. Let's say 5 weeks. That's only important so that you understand the weather conditions in North Central Ohio at around this time, rainy and floody. That's that is a pertinent detail.
Right.
Okay. You pick it up and I will I'll pick up where you lag.
So I don't know. There was a campground that we went to as children with our paternal grandmother and
like that side of the family, right? She had like a
real piece of work. I was talking like Louis C.K. When he played a cop on Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Which then led me to real piece of work. real piece of work.
Yeah, I was gonna say at the time we went there, like she had a nice. Did she have like an Airstream or something like that? It was a nice.
I mean, on the whole, the campground was nice, and you know. Yeah.
A pool. Like I remember being at the pool. There was a slide onto it, and that's really all I remember. But yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so went back down memory lane the other day and then I decided to take Cole back down memory lane and, go out to this place. And, you know, places like this exist, that are just holes in the wall where people are now living off the grid. And by off the grid, I mean off the grid of water too.
Name a grid, they're off it. They're off of every grid, except I saw some satellites for satellite TV.
Right.
Like the canonical example, and this is what you brought up, in comparison, because you were talking to me about this, like it was like at nighttime. You're saying, yeah, we should go out there. And you said, you know how you hear about those shanty towns that pop up because of laws about like not Amber Alerts, but whatever it is where, you know, convicted sex.
Where molesters can live.
Yeah, yeah. Like just the only place where molesters can live because of all the radiuses they have to deal with, right? So like under a bridge or, you know, a particular trailer park or something like that, they're going to go. Like literally no classism, no value judgments. It's just a place where they have to live. Get weird.
The way you said it, Cole.
What? Because of the radiuses?
Yeah. Yeah, like, can you believe the nonsense these guys have to put up with? That's the way you said it. Yeah. Can you believe the shit they put on them?
Okay, so if I went to bat a little too much for the peds, I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
What I don't want to do.
Well, you're put out. Let me tell you.
What I don't want to do, because there's an interpretation of the story we're about to tell that seems pretty like classist or whatever, like, oh, look at how poor people live like monsters. I don't think that was our intention in going out there to like goggle at it, but it can sound like it, right? And I was trying. I started my judgment free zone a little bit too soon when I was talking about the peds. Okay,
you're pretty open on that. I mean, you're essentially you're put out. I can only live in that tiny little area of prizes that Steve Martin narrows down in The Jerk. That's basically where I can live, right? Which is not this campground.
Yeah. When you hear stories about that, you picture something like this, right? But you never see it outside of like media or cops or whatever, right?
Or a doomsday movie.
Yeah. So we go and drive back there, and it was a vaguely anthropological kind of venture, right? Part of it was a trip down memory lane, like you said, like, oh, just, you know, remember that place from childhood? Well, here it is. But the entire thing was a bit of an exercise and a combination that I don't really get an awful lot, which is a combination of depression and fear. Like,
really?
I mean, yeah, I was sad. I was sad that people live like that. But also, yeah. Like,
maybe we should describe what living like that is. I know we said off the grid and without utilities and stuff, but
right. Yeah.
We're talking about like rotted out, smashed up campers that people have like scabbed stuff onto,
like lean-tos.
Like
at one time, this was this like a Wayfarer or whatever, but then they just started building stuff up around it.
Right. Like they just started, you know, filling cigar boxes with concrete and build themselves a wall.
Right.
You know? And yeah, so, I mean, it ranges from a full overhang and, you know, like another room on the camper to just using found materials to just stop the wind from coming in a hole.
Right. A lot of tarps put up over windows and things like that.
Garbage.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot, you know, like, so I wouldn't necessarily pick this particular campground for a permanent residence because of how thickly wooded it was. There were several of these campers that were just destroyed because trees or limbs had fallen on them. Or more scarily, there were trees or limbs that were leaning against other trees ready to fall on something.
Right.
Yeah. And like you had a story about the way they ended up without water. Like, so, you know, we're there in February. It's out of season for that place, which means no water hookups, no power hookups, I think.
Yeah. If you're curious, I don't think it's Hidden Lakes Campground.
Right. Right.
In Mount Gilead, I think Mount Gilead, Ohio.
Right.
So
if
you want to look it up, there are newspaper articles about the entire human rights legal property bullshit scenario
that has gone down
and different licensing, and it's a mess. It's like, you know, the people are stuck,
but it's like a belligerent confrontation between the owners who really don't want to take care of the place and also the people who have been there for a while. Right. Like a lot of the properties that you can see, like they were nice at one time, but now they've gone to seed.
No, I think that the people that bought it wanted it to be a real campground,
right?
But they had these people squatting there,
right, because they were on like 99-year leases or something.
Squatting, yeah, exactly. They had the leases of the land, so technically they had an argument, you know, that no, you know, this is my ground,
right?
And because they're not Native American, they're still there,
right.
No.
Okay. No, I made that comment before about how that girl wasn't shot because she was white.
Yeah, well, that was racist.
Okay. But yeah. So like we drove around there for a while. There were a couple of roads that were near washouts, right?
Yeah, it's a mess, man. You know.
Yeah. The thing that upset me most was like the half-hearted efforts to make the dwellings. I sound like I'm talking about like different species. Like, look, these monkeys, they put up their own tire swings or whatever, but no, like the efforts to put up like, oh, now the house is a home. I thought that was on vibrate, Chris.
It was cool. It is.
But no, like the half-hearted efforts to make it look homey, like, oh, you know, live, laugh, love. Here's a plaque, but the plaque is covered with algae and moss. And also it's got a crack down the middle of it.
Yeah.
One whole wall of the place was just obviously a plywood sign that had been up somewhere and spray painted. It said ruck sale. I think it was supposed to be truck sale.
Right.
Yeah. It was something. I was scared because I was worried that somebody would come out and accurately kind of identify what we were doing, which would, I mean, we were gawking at the way they lived, you know?
Yeah. Or we were maybe looking for a spot for ourselves, man.
Yeah, yeah, just shopping. Just want to let it ride for a little bit.
Let it ride, Cole.
Let it ride.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Hey, Chris, let me tell them what they can do.
Please.
Well... we can keep this short so you can go talk to your daughter. However, go to patreon.com/stuckfeedtv. Consider looking at those reward tiers and stuff like that. But if you can't, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar. If you're going to be buying anything on Amazon, that is a way to buy things at regular price, but, you know, we get a little something on the side. It's like a kickback affiliate kind of situation. But otherwise, keep coming back next week and maybe tell a friend. Hey, Chris, did I forget anything?
You got it.
Sorry, America.
Sorry.